All right, let's call this meeting to order. And roll call.
Okay. Eric Morimoto. Abigail Wilgreen.
Here.
Ross Polerke. David Roback. Robert Wagner.
Here.
Al Wilson. Yvonne Barnes.
Here.
Jeffrey Thorson.
Here.
Donald Copsel.
Here.
John Hammerhand.
Here.
Michael Rain.
Here.
Jim Kearns.
Here. All right, I guess if we're going to go to the agenda, we move right down to the election of the officers.
So in 2017, we had a chair, which was Eric Morimoto, or is Eric Morimoto, vice chair being Jim Kearns, secretary being Al Wilson, who is since retired from the city of Woodstock, and Don Copsel as treasurer. So I did speak with Eric. He does send his condolences. He's got a family emergency that he had to deal with, so he was not here today. But he is interested in continuing on as chairman, if it so pleases the commission. If nobody else would like to stand up, he said there he would like to continue on if no one else
I'll make a motion for that.
I'll second it.
Okay.
You're not here, you get volunteered.
Jim's here.
That's why you guys all
I went on. I wasn't here last time when I got to the
I nominate Jim as vice chair.
Oh, we have to do the chairman first, right?
We can go through it and then vote by acclamation.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that then.
I wanted him to be chair.
Who?
You.
Hey, I'll do the chairman on this because there's a lot coming up on stuff that I feel we should handle.
Since we haven't voted yet, I would also like to throw Jim's name in as a nomination.
Okay.
Sure.
Do we have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Didn't you already second the other one?
I don't remember.
Yeah. All right. Is there a motion to close the nominations?
So moved.
Oh, wait. Do we get to secretary? You can do them all at once.
I got to do them chair.
You want to do them all at once, or you want to do them?
Well, I guess we got two people.
I can close the nomination for the chair now, though. Can I move to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's still proper. That's what I move. Does anybody second?
So moved. Yeah, I'll second that.
All right. All right, nominations being closed. All those in favor of Eric, raise your hand. All those in favor of Jim Kearns.
Do you have a question?
No, I want to abstain from the vote.
Okay.
That's because Eric is Public Works Director for Jim.
Sure, that's fine. So all those in favor of Jim? Okay.
You're the new chair.
Congratulations.
I'll nominate Eric then.
For vice chair.
Second.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. No one else, then let's close the nominations and vote for the vice chairman for Eric.
Unanimous.
Okay. Move down to secretary and nomination for secretary.
So that should be a county board member now because we're going to alternate. So secretary before was Al, treasurer was Don.
Who was secretary?
Al Wilson.
Okay.
How about Mike?
Second.
You're killing me.
Second.
Okay.
Third. It's a high demand job, Mike. You got out the secretary.
You got to be treasurer than secretary.
close the nominations. If no one else, all those in favor of Mike?
Yep.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Mike. You're new secretary. Okay, treasurer. The treasury can't be a county board member, or can?
And no, it's going to switch back to the municipal side.
Okay.
Which is Bob.
Or Abby.
Or Abby.
Or Abby, yeah.
Or Abby. Or someone who's not here to defend
Ross.
All right, is there a motion for anybody? Who do you nominate? Pick one.
Which one would you like to...
Yeah, volunteer, guys.
Or volunteer somebody.
It's a really good one.
Abby, yeah, it is hard to...
It is very hard.
All right, is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Who nominated?
I did.
Got it, thanks.
Jeff.
All right, seeing no further nominations, all those in favor of Abby?
Aye.
All right, welcome Abby. Okay, bylaws excerpt.
So that just was a little bit about what the positions entail, so those of you that are new in the position, read a little bit about what your duties are. Chair is pretty much the main honcho here, and then
okay.
Vice chair when you show up.
All right, I'm assuming you all read the bylaws excerpts, and that is there any changes or anything that anyone would like to make to that or look at that in the future? So one thing, being new chairman of this, one thing when we have some discussions that relate to the agriculture community, I would like to figure out how we could make them a bigger part of this.
We'll talk about that then.
Down here on the future, yes, SMO revisions?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Being no further thing there, draft minute approval, Stormwater Commission, public meeting, September 28, 2017, 8:15. Is there a...
I'll make a motion to approve.
John is the second. John Ameren. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes pass.
The one handout I did give you was Mary McCann, her response that was discussed at the meeting, so that did not get included in the minutes, so I apologize. That should be included in the minutes. It will be put back into the formal minutes and minute track later today.
We should have brought that up before we approved the minutes.
I'm sorry, you talk too fast.
Oh, well, I don't waste time at meetings. Sorry. Okay, you know what? I'm going to make this official. Let's move to add this back into the minutes.
Thank you.
This memorandum about Mary.
I'll amend my motion to include the letter.
And
the
second.
John
Hammer and second. Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Please add those back to the minutes. Okay. public comment. Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting at the table because I hate this long table. But so I'm back again, and under future topics, I have some suggestions, so I would ask if I could put it in then. And it goes to some of the things that Jim's concerned about also. And Joanna and I were in a meeting yesterday, drainage meeting with the ag community, and also this federal Army Corps of Engineers, and then the state resources. And what's really clear is the disconnect we have. They each have their own requirements, and we have our requirements, ours are the least restrictive. But they're still all together, and so it's really clear how people get confused about some of those. But it's also clear that we have very distinct stormwater needs at both sides of the county, because we have urban issues on the east side and rural issues on the west side. And I'll propose some, if I might do it a little later so people don't get confused. Okay?
Okay. All right. No further public discussion. Let's move for action items. The 2018 meeting schedule and the meeting dates.
So if you look at packet page 6, there is one conflict with last time the staff was tasked with looking at everyone else's committees and any other conflicts. I know the one, the Health and Human Services or Community Services, is the one that a couple members do have a conflict with, and the only day that conflicts would have been September 27th. So we made a decision here to change it to the third Thursday of the month, which is September 20th for that date only, and that does not conflict with any other committee meetings at this point. So that's the only change that you would see there. And then the November 15th is typically the fourth Thursday, November 22nd, which happens to be Thanksgiving, so we switched that up. just in case we do have amendments that we do need to discuss and pass and all that good stuff, give you guys an extra date to discuss and make sure you have enough time if
that
it works.
Doesn't conflict with the committee as a whole for the planning board?
No.
Okay. In November, one?
No.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, is everyone in favor of adopting this schedule? Okay, all those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. Adopted. Okay, Wetland Restoration Fund 2017 annual report under discussion items. The Wetland Restoration Fund annual report.
It is attached on page 7, packet page 7, so you'll see that we do not have, based on November 30th, 2017 date, there is still the $128,250 in the account. We did receive in fiscal year 2018 the $70,250 from NCDOT for their River Dowell Roundabout project, so that is added in there. We are still in the process of vetting all the projects, or the one project with the Crystal Lake Park District, for the actual request for the grant for the Wetland Restoration Fund. So that was the only grant we received. We'll be talking about that at our TAC meeting this morning, later on. But again, there was only one project that submitted for those funds, the request of the funds. It's not good, not bad, but it is a good project. It's Stern's Fen over off of Hillside and Terracotta in Crystal Lake area. So it's a phase two project of their Stern's Fen restoration, and they're requesting about $100,000 for that restoration. I think they're proposing about 2.5 acres of restoration to that area there.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on?
So we're putting the whole bill?
Well, they're requesting $100,000. They are putting in additional funding from other themselves. I would have to look at the breakdown. I could pull that for you if you want.
Yeah.
Yes, I can get that for you.
East of Walker.
Terracotta.
Between there and the railroad tracks.
Okay. I do not have that in the track packet, but I can get that for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got anything else on that?
Nope.
Any other questions? Don?
No.
Anyone else? All right, seeing none, we'll move forward to the future revisions, SMO divisions. I guess we open that for discussion, right? You want to fill us in what you're thinking?
Absolutely. As Mary had mentioned a little bit ago, we did sit down, and the minutes reflect. We did sit down in October. She had brought some concerns to us, kind of start the ball rolling regarding some of the concerns that the residents and the constituents in the county have expressed with regards to drainage, with regards to ordinance issues, whether they're too onerous or otherwise, or just not strict enough in some cases. But we did have a healthy discussion on a couple topics with respect to drainage, which I think is a good starting point for us to look at how to, or if we want to have TAC look at some areas of the ordinance to change, or potentially change the ordinance language. One of them, as Mary had mentioned, is drainage for the ag communities. Yesterday, the Farm Bureau put on a presentation that included the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Resource Conservation Service, so those that deal with drain tiles and drainage ditches, the DNR, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, ourselves, and the Soil and Water Conservation District. So collectively, we talked about our own regulations, where we all fit into the big picture. There was a main discussion about drainage coming off of, let's say, subdivisions or more urban areas into more rural areas, whether they be farm fields or farms in general. And that improved impervious area and the detention basins potentially would be negatively affecting crop production or additional water on ag land. So that's one concern that really hit home yesterday with respect to numerous people had expressed the same concern. And we don't really address that right now, per se, in the ordinance. We do address it with detention, but we don't go the next step to say, are we fully, looking at every angle, I suppose, to say, you know what, is crops just as important as somebody's basement or is somebody's backyard? So I know we get calls about homeowners that have local drainage concerns, but not necessarily farmers. We'll get those occasionally, but I think they're a little bit more reserved than some homeowners when they come to drainage in their yards. I'm sure you guys have gotten those phone calls before also on this topic, so that may be a good place to start with that. The next one is just in general regulations on ag production or ag properties. And the increase of impervious, is it as important to put in a detention basin or to put in runoff reduction property activities or basins or swales or something like that on an ag piece of property, which then potentially could remove production, areas of production? Is it maintenance issues? There's numerous aspects of there. So I know Mary had been prepared to talk about that, and that was probably something that has come up in numerous occasions too with all of you guys. But those are two of the main ones that are not really addressed or maybe we want to revisit as part of this ordinance rewrite or review.
Okay. I'll open the floor for anybody with any ideas. And Mary, I'll welcome you into this. Everyone meetings a little bit differently than everybody. Mm-hmm. Than a lot of people is my meetings is I'll take input from people if I'm allowed to.
Sure.
Am I the chairman so I can do that?
Whatever you want.
So when people come for public comment and they have some concerns of things, I'll reserve your right to open up because that's their concern that would be addressed at that time within reason. So we won't allow you to talk for 20 minutes, Mary, on something that you're interested in.
No.
Was that the only solution they came up with, was a retention area?
Well, there really were no solutions discussed at that point. It's more of, this is a concern, how can we address this? So what are some ways that we can address this? Or is this a valid concern that we should move towards to TAC to address and come up with some solutions? So a detention basin is the way that we resolve in the ordinance or justify the additional impervious. So the detention basin is the easiest, simplest way that somebody can design a way to decrease the runoff from the property from that impervious surface. We do also allow in the ordinance conservation easements or ag easements to be in place on properties up to 5 to 10% of the property depending on how much impervious. And that would allow them to not have to put in that detention basin or any additional runoff volume reduction measures. That ag easement goes with the property in perpetuity until they either remove that additional impervious, they put in a detention basin, or they modify their site appropriately.
And a developer can't put water onto an ag field?
Well, they are allowed to discharge to the normal course of water. So if the water always came through your farm field in the certain area, it's still allowed to go through that.
I understand that.
We try to mimic that, but sometimes with additional runoff, you're going to get it for a longer period of time. So the duration is longer versus just a rainfall event. It may just be 2 days. Well, if it's in a detention basin and it's slowly trickling out over 20 days, you're going to get water for 20 days versus, you know, a single rain event. So that's where the concern is.
And I'll add to that part. There's around some of the municipalities where they've even done a retention or detention, what do you want to call that, retention, like by the Huntley School? And instead of hard piping from that point down to the creek, they run it over the surface. And over the years, what it's created is a washout swale. And every time it rains, there's a river running that the white, what do you call them, herrings or egrets, are standing out there in the stream that they have in the farm. because, and it runs for days. It doesn't just run over with the rain. It runs a stream for days. And now there's a washout. There's 2-foot ditches out in the middle of this guy's field. And at the time, the village of Huntley they let the school district do whatever they want. So I would, when we're doing some research here, I would propose that we look at neighboring counties. I understand that we model after Kane County down there. Not really? And that's where I would like to get an understanding, not just in Huntley, but all municipalities. When we're developing, when developing starts up, I would like to get an understanding of the concerns of the farm fields and the neighbors of dumping water across those fields, that maybe we need to do something there to prevent that even further. because it is causing damage to people's property. And we, as a county, our transportation, we do it. It happens every time there's a development.
Isn't there a restriction on the outlet side of it?
Well, that's what I think we need to look a little further.
There's a release rate that you're allowed to have. That's right. In the ordinance.
Yes. So what it allows is to either mimic the same runoff. So if it's, you know, the original runoff, you cannot be more, you can't dump more water on the property, but you can dump less or the same amount. But again, it's going to be over time. So the release is going to be different in all cases, but you're not allowed to blow out somebody's farm field. But what you'll see is the problem with that trickling effect over a longer period of time.
What's created is they lost acres of production.
Oh, there's one of those on Edgewood in Nundy Township. It's been there for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And its rate coming out, the restriction rate, it runs all the way down, goes underneath the railroad tracks at Bay Road, and the ditch line's never been touched. Doesn't have to be.
Well, and those are some of the things that I think we should explore when it comes to that. Also, the restrictions that we have on the farmers cleaning out their drainage ditches and everything. I think we need to review that, of how that's done, and the tree cutting versus cleaning the banks up and taking the roots and everything out so that it doesn't create the problem again. Earlier this spring, we had the call on the one subdivision that had flooding. You know, the water was getting really high, and of course, it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. But part of that, you guys discovered, was a dam of trees up in the creek. Well, to clean that out, they have to pull it out by hand, or they have to come and get a permit. So a lot of the people just say, the heck with that. Well, if the farmer could go back with a backhoe, pull that out, and clean up that bank area without having to go through all that stuff, mm-hmm. we create, with our restrictions, I feel, we create a lot of our own drainage problems instead of going in, cleaning it up, doing the right way. Within the Army Corps of Engineers and within the USDA, within those things, and we kind of got to get more uniform to them. So the other question I had when we're talking about this is when we're dealing with the environmental, the Army Corps of Engineers, the EPA, the whole works, have we seen any less, you always hear about they've gotten rid of some of the restrictions on the EPA and different things. Has that come through yet of trickling down, or is it just still?
No. Unfortunately, it's still up in the air on the waters of the United States law. Or the rule. For us, it probably wouldn't change much because we do regulate isolated wetlands anyway. Yeah. So with that, in that respect, no. EPA, no, nothing. I don't anticipate any changes. I don't see any changes. How EPA gets involved with our projects is mostly with a greater than an acre of disturbance properties. So if you got a big subdivision, if you got somebody doing larger developments, 1 acre is their threshold to get a permit from the EPA. They will also investigate discharges from any office or any detention basin or any construction site, but the 1 acre is what they're most concerned with. They would need a permit.
One thing, when we're talking about these regulations and revisions, the party not in the room, we have county board, we have municipalities in here. One thing we don't have is we don't have agriculture community in here as a member of this board. How do we change that? Can we change that? Do we want to change that? Because it's half of, over half of this county. And they don't have input other than if we permit them input. And I would like them to be able to have input in this, because it does.
I thought there was. Didn't we have like Conservation District, Farm Bureau?
That's the TAC.
They're on the TAC.
They're on the TAC side.
They're on the TAC side.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think we'll have to look at state statute. I'm pretty sure that state statute is pretty specific that the commission
exactly.
is created of equal representation.
Well, that's what I would I'd like to understand how that works. I'm new to this job today.
Because that's a TAC that we have some of those resources, well, all of those resource agencies, and a representative of the Farm Bureau. And maybe that could be, that mix could maybe be mixed, changed. And we can look at the composition of this. I just think that it's set by state statute.
Okay. And when, but when we do some of these rules and changes and everything else, I would certainly like to possibly, instead of all of us having separate meetings and everything else, at one, some point we'll put a joint meeting together with them to discuss this. If a joint meeting would allow us their input before we make a decision. Similar things that go on all the time. Let's let everybody talk about things for a set period of time. We don't need to make it go on for years, whatever. But my opinion is let's let them in. Let's have them say so. Let's consult everybody, and then make the decisions. Let's not make the decisions and find out.
I think that's all set up. Just tagged all the homework.
Yeah,
add their input to us.
Right. But I'd like to have an open session where we had able to have, I think I can handle the crazies out there. I should say crazy, that's the wrong word, sorry. I think I can handle the strong-willed people out there who would want to stand up and yell in the, you know, we always have public comment. I'd like them to actually have some input on when we do something like this. Yet I would be very restrictive, you know. Kevin Beaton, you guys can throw me off as chairman already because I'm probably talking some stuff that shouldn't.
So I have a question, okay? So I know what you're saying. All the municipalities don't necessarily have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own. And they can make it more restrictive than we can.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to know, what you'd like is just county rural input into and have a dialogue about how we're implementing the stormwater ordinance and ways we can improve it without hindering the municipalities.
Not just that, I would like to see not only the agriculture, but the municipalities affect the agriculture and vice versa. I'd like it so that we get more of a uniform between all of them, between the municipalities and everything else. In state statute, whatever we have to do to make it easier on, you know, if we're going to do something, let's do it.
Are more of the issues seem to be coming from the edges of the municipalities into the county area? Is that seem
when it comes to water detention or retention, I believe
that's,
so.
Okay.
The ag community and municipalities on the drainage ditches and everything too would be a concern that we get a uniform way to handle this and not make it so restrictive that it's impossible to clean a ditch. And I remember today, I lived on the farm, which is now Del Webb. I lived in all the peat ground and everything. And I remember when they did the ditches and everything, we cut trees, we pulled trees, we did everything. They actually set the drainage districts back then. And that district is now what do you call it, dormant. However, it was pretty easy for them to go in and clean the ditches and get the water to run away, you know, and drain. Now those ditches are all full, there's beaver dams, there's everything in those ditches, and they just, nobody will touch them anymore. It's just, it just
because nobody wants to incur the expenses.
Well, the expenses are high when it comes to some of these restrictions on there, and that's why they don't want to do it.
That to segue into that, there was a, Dan Volkers yesterday at the Farm Bureau did mention that they are trying to get a group together to discuss potentially reinvigorating some of the drainage districts. So stay tuned for that topic. But yeah, I agree that, you know, there are some onerous hoops you have to jump through, whether it's our agency, whether it's the Corps, whether it's the DNR. You know, and it may take
they all
a
have
family
different
regulations.
They're all on different storylines.
And yesterday what I tried to express was to the ag community, if there's something that you guys see that's an issue in here, it's gonna be easy for us to change. It's not gonna be easy for the Corps to change. It's not gonna be easy for the DNR to change. So if there's something in here that is fatally flawed or that needs some tweaking, ours is a month long process versus a year long process or months long process for
but
us.
But we can't change their rules. That's they're in the problem.
So are they actively addressing their concerns independently at this point? If I'm here.
When it comes, they're trying to advocate. So that's their role right now, is the Farm Bureau is, you know, working with the farmers to say, you know what, here's your resources, you know, let's talk at TAC about, you know, the issues, bring them to the county board members. So this is the first step, I suppose,
so
for us.
So who's the TAC, not name, but what is the position of the Farm Bureau representative on the TAC?
Dan Volkers,
he's
the second director, yeah.
So I'm going to, if I may speak.
And he attends, too, so it's not that he's...
Because many of us, a year or two ago, heard from the Farm Bureau that they were concerned that they were getting information after the fact. They were being told that, you know, these changes were going through, and it was a little bit too late for their liking.
But they did, when we rewrote the thing, they did have input.
I understand that. I understand that. But I think... My interpretation of it was more of a timing issue. That while they knew changes were being considered, they didn't realize how quickly it went through then to have the decision made. They thought they had more time to respond.
Okay.
So if we can just be proactive, and I encouraged the District 6 representatives at that point in time to stay in close contact with the Farm Bureau in particular.
Okay.
Well, then I would agree with you on that.
So I'll start at that point. Yesterday, and what actually we didn't understand until November, it didn't become really clear until Joanna mentioned the different requirements from the Army Corps and NRC and then us. And therein is where lies a lot of problems, and that got explained yesterday more clearly. And those aren't things that we can necessarily improve upon.
But we can be the liaison and be more explanatory in the understanding.
So one of the things that is very clear is we're in an urban Army Corps district that interprets everything from an urban standpoint, and the farmers really would like to see us use the more rural interpretation that Rock Island has. And so I'm working with them to look at that and see how we can come together. But the subdivision issue is really difficult. And the one thing, and Bob and I were just talking about this, that is clear is when subdivisions have a detention pond, they can hook up to a farmer's field title or just put it into a channel that's a natural swale to go to the end point. But those are getting overloaded, silted in, whatnot, and so what happens is then there gets ponding on the agricultural land, and then if that lasts for very long, pretty soon within 5 years you'll have wetland plants that don't belong there and the farmer can't farm it. And so what I'd like to see, and what Jim's talking about, is the need to somehow put in the requirement that they have to put in an end point, whether it's a tile or a ditch line, but preferably tile, to get that trickle, that water volume, because the volume increases. They can't increase the rate of release before it was a subdivision. But the volume is what kills people. So to get force them to put tile line in to the end point. And that's what happened. They didn't do that in
that's
Huntley.
Exactly what
and they didn't, and where they did do it, actually, in each subdivision, if you go south to Elmore, they did. They put in two detention ponds that all hooked into the same tile lines that went through these people's backyard to these people's property to go to the creek. And within months, they blew that out because the way too small and the volume was way too high. So, that's what we want to look at.
And then after going off of what you're saying as far as that area and pooling water and things of that nature, they can actually change your category, I guess it would be, as far as that land goes.
Yeah, they could create a wetland.
That's what I mean.
And we don't have to give money to create the wetlands.
Right. I mean, you know.
Wetlands become, and good productive land becomes a wetland. And
right. It doesn't end up really functioning as a wetland because then it silts in too fast. So that's a problem.
So
you can jump in any time. He knows more than I do.
There should be, what we're noticing around us, and you know the farm because you used to live there, is Don Froling's farm.
Mm-hmm.
All the weather, if we have a rain event, 2 days after that rain event, we get all of Huntley's water.
Right.
Okay? Don Froling used to farm that whole area. Now he's lucky if he gets 25, 30 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes over to creeks and sits there in ponds and then it doesn't soak away because the creek's always full.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Huntley's water finally goes through, then Don starts draining out, but it's too late to plant a crop. And every year it's getting worse and worse and worse, if you've noticed.
Right, and that's what I was talking about.
So how do you restrict what they're dumping to downstream?
Well,
because the idea is
you have to be able to move it through, too.
Yeah,
it's full of beaver back there, too.
Correct.
And that's...
Right, and nobody wants to go through 6 permits to take beaver dam out.
Right. It's all the way up to the railroad tracks and everything else.
And then eventually it hits Mean Union and Flushing.
So I'm familiar with that place, that area
right.
that you're talking about. That's another one of many
right.
that we have going on. Mm-hmm. And they're getting worse.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
I saw water this spring on top of roads on the top of the hills.
Yeah.
Right now about that. The water just can't get away anymore.
Or near lake.
Yeah. But anyway.
So, there was, I hate to interrupt, I'm going to ask one. One of the other issues that goes to what he's talking about is that what drains into those same ditches and some same farmland are water treatment plants. And Huntley's water treatment plants, Del Webb and their newer subdivision, so it's going to be Delmore, that contribute to that whole discharge because it flows north to get into the Kishwaukee River. So the combined volume is huge. And when you get a permit for a wastewater treatment plant, it's always been a very limited area. They look at where you're taking the water from. They don't look at the discharge impact downstream. And I've been trying to get CMAP to work on that because that is a problem up here. And that's what he ends up dealing with.
Right, and I would agree on that. And that's something that when we're doing all this, maybe we could address to make it a little bit easier to alleviate those problems without jumping through the hoops. That's just my opinion. I know we got statute, we got Army Corps of Engineers, we got USDA, who don't have the same opinion. That's the problem here. And what do we enforce? Which opinion do we have to enforce is something I would like to ask.
Right now? We can only enforce our stormwater management ordinance. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, let's say, ditch clearing or drain tile fixes. Those are exempt. We wrote that in the ordinance back in 2014. Those were one of the main concerns that came up in the ag community and then others, obviously. They noticed that it took forever to get a tile fixed or to clean up a ditch. I'm not saying a river, I'm not saying a creek, but a ditch, a man-made ditch can be cleaned up and it's exempt. The Corps may have a different opinion or they could say, you know what, you can clean up the ditch in as much as don't remove the stumps. Those stumps maybe are the hindrance of some of this water and catch debris, and obviously we're back to the same point of what the problem was before it happened. So it is going to be a holistic change for everyone. It can be us to start, but we're only one part of it, unfortunately. And you as a group and the county has a difficult time because you have to deal with other agencies or other communities that are more rural or more urban. And some of these, Huntley, they follow King County's ordinance. So even if we change our ordinance, it may not resolve the issues coming out of new development out there. And it's not going to resolve old development.
We may want to put some pushback, though.
Well, and we can work together, and I think that's a good point that you had made.
I mean, they run over the top of us as a county. It is McHenry County still. They're affecting our people.
Right. So to that point, the intergovernmental agreements we have with several communities, border communities on Caning, Lake County borders, it's by intergovernmental agreement that they enforce the Kane County ordinance in McHenry County, and we can look at the terms of that agreement and revoke it or cancel it when it comes up for renewal, whatever the terms are, but that is how it works. And in all cases, it's communities enforcing either the Lake or Kane ordinance instead of McHenry because our ordinance was adopted last, so they had already started enforcing those ordinances and rather than switching to ours when it was adopted. There aren't any cases where border communities enforce ours, I don't think, instead of the surrounding counties' ordinance. But they are an intergovernmental agreement, so if we don't think that it's in our best interest, it's something we could look at revoking at some point.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it never hurts to ask for something. They can always say no, and if they say no, we can change.
The funny thing
But they may have a better ordinance than what we have, but it doesn't hurt for us to look at all that. Another thing I would like for each of the members to get here to start is a hard copy of what all of our stormwater ordinances are so that we have something to refer back to instead of going trying to go on the website. So I was just going to say we should never have this.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't me.
I know.
It's embarrassing.
That we've got copies back at the office. So
yes, if we could all get a copy of that, I would appreciate that because I think that would help a lot of us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, good idea.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I do have some other comments on possible ordinance amendments or some of the things you've been talking about.
I'd love to hear.
So I think it's very interesting. I haven't heard anything that is very specific to the suburban rural fringe. That seems to be where the biggest conflicts are, and if maybe the area where we look at for this round of revisions or at least focus, if other things come up, that's fine. But that seems pretty consistent with that. But I think I kind of hear and see, and I think that conflict isn't just municipalities to unincorporated areas. Some of those developments that have the perennial streams out of the detention ponds, some are municipalities, as we've been talking about. Some of those are unincorporated developments. We know some of those where the other rural property owners have the same problem. So it is something that I think we need to address collectively as a group. There's that side of it. What impact is urbanization and detention ponds having on the agricultural community? I think it was brought up at the beginning, but I want to make sure it's stated again. And Michelle Levang, I assured her I would make sure that it was brought up, is the agricultural community has continued concerns about the requirements for them to provide detention. And that's also a two-way street. It's farmland now, and maybe there's some justification for not making them do detention now. And we have a lot of provisions to give them some exemptions so they don't have to do detention now. But what is the long-term future, and what are the possible impacts of not making them do detention downstream, whether it's just to rural property other rural property owners, to people downstream on perennial water, flowing water, or you know, future, I guess, urbanization if the land use changes in that neighborhood. So that's it's a complicated issue, but I do think, and Michelle Evang would request that we again looked at what the detention requirements are for agriculture. Mm-hmm. We already have several provisions to give them exemptions. One of those provisions require that they file a conservation easement to assure us it's going to remain agriculture. It's revocable. If they take out the impervious surface, they can cancel that easement, but the agricultural community is pretty concerned about that easement. They don't want to file that. So how else could we meet the objective of giving them an exemption from detention without requiring an easement? Something I think we should look at. I reached out to Kane County on that yesterday to see if they had any innovative ideas. And interestingly, we already have a provision up to 1 acre or 5% of your property you can just do. You can do up to 10% if you're willing to, 1 acre, 10%, you can just do 5%, no matter how many acres you can do if you're willing to file that easement. Kane County is recognizing the same issue, and they're talking about exemptions, but their exemption is limited at 1%, so we're already 10 times higher than that. And what they're looking at farmers doing as an alternative to the detention isn't an easement. It's actually having them do other watershed benefit measures where they would go in and they would restore floodplains or wetland areas or do other things to reduce nutrient runoff. So those aren't free things, but they're things that the farmer might find to be a benefit also. It would be a benefit to the community and an alternative to doing detention. They're just starting that process, but it's something we might want to follow and think about ourselves. And then the other piece I would throw out, I think it's kind of consistent with what you had mentioned, Mr. Chairman, is given that so many of these issues are specific to the rural, agricultural community, suburban fringe, Kane County has established a task force for their stormwater management update of the agricultural community. The Farm Bureau chair is kind of chairing that, along with their stormwater management TAC, and I would suggest we might want to do something similar, maybe have a couple of TAC members get together with Dan Volker and a couple other representatives of the Farm Bureau, whoever they would nominate, and try to go through some of those in detail, get them to the TAC, and then TAC bring them in here, and ultimately, not to divide the task, we want everybody in the same room at some point, but maybe ideas can kind of flow up from a working group of some kind.
Sure. I think those are valid and very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I have one additional to expand.
I'll give you one more.
This is it? All right. But, because I've noticed the changes, I was one of the first members of the county board that when they implemented the stormwater ordinance, and I've been watching it all this time. And one of the things that Dennis brought up last time when I was talking in, way back in September was I mentioned that in 96 we did a McHenry County did a comprehensive stormwater management plan. Every county was supposed to do one. Ours is ultra light. I realized that there was a cost to it, but it doesn't have a lot of details in terms of the picture that we have here in McHenry County. And so I use King County as an example because they looked at the watersheds initially, and then they could determine the new work, what was growing, what was that, and then looked at the challenges with each of the watersheds, and then documented those so that people who come in, now we're aging out, and a lot of our public works people and the municipalities and whatnot don't know anything really about stormwater, and so their document presents a good overview of the historical and still challenges within the different watersheds. And I think that it might not be a bad idea to look long-term at redoing or doing an updated stormwater management plan. So everybody has a picture of the watersheds. Back then, I think we had one watershed plan, which was Nipissing. Now we have five of them. So I think that we can talk, Jim, about how you, I think you gave some good perspective on this and how it might happen. But definitely Dennis is right, and I did talk to some people from King County yesterday about that. I think looking at what's happening here, we had two people from municipalities who have retired, and just getting new people back on is a challenge.
Let's move forward here a little bit.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You know, we have that four-way intersection down there by Marengo, and I keep on hearing all these rumors that there's a lot of water out down there on that property that they want to develop.
I'm not sure which road you're
on. Yeah. Well, they want to put a stoplight in there, don't they?
Well, the interchange. Yeah. We're going to have the interchange.
Oh, the interchange at 23.
There's going to be roundabouts.
23.
Yeah, but, you know, if they start developing that property down there, and it's wet as I hear, is that going to cause us things that we should look at?
That would be up to Marengo point.
Well, yeah, because most of that land is in that they're going to develop has been annexed to a Marengo.
Marengo's annexed. It will, as we do things, it will affect some of the farmers around there. But it's something that when these developments happen, example, Humphrey School, had they made them do it right when it started, had it been hard pipe it to the, now the school says take a hike to the farmer. The farmer would put the tile in if they just pay for the tile. They won't even pay for the tile to put it in and to get rid of the water. So there's if we just, in the beginning, say let's do it right. But we need to listen to those ideas when we're doing this. Take the best of all the different ideas, Kane County, different ones. Take the best of them and pieces, and then create ours that's efficient. We need efficiency in our system so that we don't have, so that it's easy for the majority. Right? Wouldn't you agree with that? It'd probably make your job a lot easier.
You got that right.
So, then you are correct about the lots down there. Because on the road that adjacent, just across the tollway, I know Riley Township has to close that road every time it rains.
Carl's.
Because it overflows, that creek overflows the
Carl's.
Bridge.
Carl's. Yeah.
By Coon Creek.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I really don't know firsthand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a question, and it's something I think that it's on the books, so why don't we start looking at it?
That's an interesting situation. I hate this, but because Coon Creek up here in McHenry County, because we are in the Army Corps urban, they don't really let us manage the Coon Creek runoff and that kind of thing like they do in DeKalb. So DeKalb has what they cleaned up in their farmland and try to manage their water out according to Rock Island, it turns out. But our Coon Creek out here is managed, is not managed at all. So the overflow, you're seeing a lot of that not unmanaged Coon Creek watershed.
So when it's in the municipality, we've lost all control.
Well, they have to comply with our
orders.
So. Let's give you a success story about ditching?
Sure. And Abby knows this one because we worked together on this one. So we had a gentleman that came in between Lucas and Doty and wanted to dredge the river. It's actually the Kishwaukee River. Mm-hmm. It did take him some time, but he did get the permits. He actually got a letter of no objection from the Army Corps. He got a waiver from the DNR because it was ditched previously and it was managed previously. He got a waiver from the DNR. He did have to deal with the threatened and endangered species through the DNR, so that was probably his biggest hurdle. But in our case, and in Abby's case, she issued a permit in the city of Crystal Lake. We issued a permit in unincorporated. And the way that we switched, why we did that, is because he got a general permit. So in order to get that general permit, he didn't have to get an engineer. He didn't have to have a surveyor. He didn't need to get a wetland specialist to do that threatened and endangered. But some of the bigger costs, if he would have had to get an individual permit based on our ordinance, that would have been in the thousands. Luckily, you know, we were able to break it up into the city of Crystal Lakes and ours. He was able to meet the standards, which was less than a half a mile of ditch clearing or dredging, and he was able to get a permit. No, I'm not gonna say, it was fairly easy compared to what our
that was kind of a big project, too.
It's a very big project, yeah. So
he just didn't realize he needed permits.
Correct.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, you know, we'll take a little success story. You know, he did go through the process. It was, you know, he did have to go through the DNR. He did have to go through the Corps, and the EPA did give him a waiver also. But you know, for us, it was probably pretty straightforward.
What good did that do him if he just did a second?
That's all he's good for. But that's all he can do, though. I mean, yes, if we had a drainage district and they wanted to do the entire thing, that would be something. But you know, again, this is a good starting point for the talks.
Okay. All right, great. Anybody else on SMO revisions? Okay.
One more thing. I know that we had tabled the infiltration detention basin type scenarios based on the USGS returning with their report and their analyses. So we did in November have our water forum. And the results were presented in a paper by Amy Gahala and to that group. Just as you guys know, there are chlorides, and we are having issues with the chlorides and potential contamination into the watersheds based on road salt and anything else that's going on. So I know that was something that you wanted to revisit once that report was done. to see if infiltration basins were an important portion of the ordinance we wanted to relook at and potentially put in, which would kind of marry detention and runoff from other properties. But it's up to you to think about, is it in our best interest to do that based on the results of the USGS study, what you had asked for?
Anybody input on that? I think you all want a copy of that.
So your fault.
Yeah.
We all want a copy of that to review that? Is that what we're going to
do? Sure, if you would like a copy, I can get you a copy of that one.
Sort of now, what
he was
about.
Without guilt. Done.
So we can read that and
understand
that.
Absolutely.
And maybe we'll bring that up on the next meeting.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Miscellaneous items. Wetland restoration fund status request for project proposals. What do we have there?
Yes. I talked about that a little bit in the WRF annual report there, but again, we did have one applicant.
Okay, member comments. Anybody have anything to say?
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Okay, we'll move to adjournment. Move to Don. Mike?
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Adjourn.
Aye.